Hi, this is Tonya McGee, and you're listening to the Warrior Princess Club. This week's episode is called A Powerful Equation.
As the day blows shadows away, my love speaks to me. Arise, my darling, way, come away.
Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I've been thinking a lot about this scripture and what that means. We've talked in the past about our heart, how when we accept Christ, when we are sanctified, we are made righteous, we are given a new heart, a good heart. You guys will remember that. I think that was the very first week that we met. We talked about that. And those of you that were at the retreat, we talked about that, the good heart. I think the same thing happens with our mind. We are given at least the tools we need to have a powerful mind, a transformed mind, a renewed mind. It's something that is a bit of work, I think. It doesn't come easy, our thought life. But it is crucial to be able to know what God's will is. When I was thinking about it today, I was thinking, you know, having a renewed mind is really basically just positioning yourself every moment to be in God's presence, to be at rest, to turn off all the noise, to turn off all the voices, to ignore the emotional responses to things, and to settle into truth. And the only way we know what truth is by knowing God's word, His promises. So we're going to kind of talk about that tonight. Henry David Thoreau said, as a single footstep will not make a path on the earth, so a single thought will not make a pathway in the mind. To make a deep physical path, we walk again and again. To make a deep mental path, we must think over and over the kind of thoughts we wish to dominate our lives. And that's what I'm talking about. I think for a renewed mind, for a transformed mind, it's a practice. It's something we have to do over and over and over again, just like walking a path, treading the same path over and over again. Eventually, the grass gets killed and dirt is there, and you can see the way is easy through the brush. It's the same thing with our minds. It's a practice. At first, you're kind of like, you can't see anything. You're fighting through the brambles, but the more you do it, the longer that time goes by and the more you're practicing that, in time, it becomes easier and you see your way through. So how do we change our mind? How do we change the way we think and how we feel and how we perceive the world around us? Because really, reality is just your perception. Do you guys get that? How you perceive, we're all old enough to understand this. How you perceive things, that's your reality. It's the whole half is half empty, half full philosophy. It reminds me of that movie, A Beautiful Mind. That guy, you guys saw that. It was his reality. That was his perception, and it was reality to him. So I want to take you guys on a journey today. Some of you guys who are at retreat, we've done this before, but it's good. I think every time I watch this video, I get something new from it. I love this. We're going to talk about the science behind a little bit of a quantum physics or quantum mechanics. I love science. I love when science catches up even a little bit to what God says in the Bible. They get so excited. Well, we've discovered that people who have a whole lot of anger and bitterness, that they tend to have arthritis. Really? You know, because the Bible talks about that, like in Psalms. King David talks about how bitterness made his bones ache. So things like that, I think it's so interesting when science catches up. So I do have this video that I want you guys to watch. And at first, you may be like, what in the world is she talking about? Where is she going? I promise you that there's a point to it. We're going to be going somewhere very biblical with it. So I am going to pull this video up here to see if it goes smoothly. There's a couple of things I want to go back over to make sure that you didn't miss. Okay, so matter is made up of tiny particles. The universe around you, everything you see, everything you feel, it's all made up of tiny particles. Those electrons were able to change themselves from a solid, tangible thing into something else. Did you catch what I said? It's a wave of possibilities. It literally becomes, they call it a probability wave, probability meaning possibility. It can do or go or be anything. The very act of observing it caused it to behave differently. When they didn't talk about it in the video, and I think I love this, it talks about it in another video. They took a step further and they decided, well, we're going to leave the camera up, but we'll unplug it. We won't record any data. And when they did that, they left the camera up, but they didn't record. It went back to the wave pattern again. It knew the electrons behaved differently when it mattered. So you guys hearing this? When it mattered at a subatomic level, things behaved differently. And because of this, as a result of this, that experiment, that's where quantum mechanics came from. They science was like, we can recreate this over and over and over again, so we know it's some kind of natural law, some kind of truth, but we absolutely don't understand what it is or what it means, and so they put it off in a whole new category and said, we're going to call that quantum physics, and there it sits. Albert Einstein, this happened during his time on the earth. He said, quantum mechanics is certainly imposing, but an inner voice tells me that it is not yet the real thing. The theory says a lot, but does not really bring us any closer to the secret of the old one. I think it's amazing. Albert Einstein recognized that there's something to this, but he didn't know quite yet what, but it had something to do with God somewhere in the heart. So what does this mean to us? What does this mean to the believer? Again, I love when science catches up because God has been telling us for thousands of years to be careful about what we think about because of how much power it can have. Be careful what you focus on, what you're observing, because it affects the world around you. This sounds very New Agey. I think some people, when I first was putting this together at the beginning of the summer, I remember talking with Jan and saying, I'm a little nervous that this people are going to hear this message, they're going to think that I'm trying to say something New Agey. And I was, how do I phrase this? How do I word this? And I thought, I don't really have to worry about this. I mean, the Bible is true. Truth is truth. The New Age movement latched on to something that is a natural law. There's truth to it. They're just using it. They're manipulating it some weird ways, but they're using it the same way, and I've said this before, that the rainbow was something that was given to us as a promise from God. And just because the gay and lesbian community has embraced that and uses that as their symbol, it doesn't mean that it's inherently evil or wrong. It's the same way with this, the power of what we think about and the power of our words and the power of what we meditate and focus on, that it can be used in our favor or against us. So let's start with this thought. What does the Bible say about our thoughts and the power that they have? Let's start with good things. When God gives us directions, he does it as a child gives directions to a loving, or from a loving parent. He does it as a child who's given directions from a loving parent. We don't take time to explain to a child who's about to touch a hot stove. Now, Timmy, I got to read this. Heat energy is most intense in substances whose molecules are moving very rapidly in a very disorderly way. Such a substance will give up some of its heat to another substance whose molecules are less agitated. When this happens, the heat is said to flow from one substance to another, and then the energy transfer is indicated by a change in temperature. You don't say all that to explain what you say. You say, don't touch that, it's hot. Because that's all his little head is going to understand, right? Yeah. Don't touch it. It's hot. When God tells us to do things or not to do things, he didn't take the time to explain all the science behind it. He just said, do this. The way a loving parent tells a child, do this or don't do this. And even if you took the time to explain that to a five-year-old, it's not going to change his behavior. It's not going to change your response either. He's going to obey you because he knows that you love him and you want what's best for him, or he's going to disobey because, you know, he's got to find out on his own. I think it's the same thing with God. I think he doesn't always choose to tell us the reason behind everything, because in the long run, it really isn't going to make a difference on whether we're going to choose to obey or not. Either we're going to choose to obey him because we trust him, or we're going to choose to disobey because we have to find out on our own, you know, the hard way. So we got to understand that anything that science can prove always follows natural law. It's never outside of how God has designed the universe. And in fact, science can only enhance what God has already revealed to us. 1 Corinthians 2:11 through 16. The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you yourself? The same with God, except that he not only knows what he's thinking, but he lets us in on it. God offers us a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that he is giving us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus. And we're passing it on to you in the same way, firsthand, in the same firsthand personal way. So I love that. That's the message version of that. But that is 1 Corinthians 2:11 through 16. Says we don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this stuff by reading books, by going to school. We learned it from God. So Romans 12:2, we talked about this one. Do not be conformed to this world. God's telling us, don't think the way the world thinks. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Change the way you think. Change the way you think about things. Change your perception. And that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we've talked about that. We've got our spirit self, we've got our flesh self, and we have to kind of walk in it for now. But we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war against according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So we know that when we have our minds stayed on God, we can have perfect peace. Philippians 4:4-9, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Philippians 4:4-9, if you don't have this memorized, it's a great one to memorize. It's a great one to have written down and posted somewhere in your bedroom, in your office, in your bathroom, in your car, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise, think about those things. If you find yourself meditating, thinking a lot about things that are depressing, if you're listening to music that's depressing, if you're watching movies that are depressing and sad, if you are feeding all those negative thoughts, that's not going to line up with this verse at all. If you are focusing on these things, your litmus test, see if things line up. This is what all thoughts should line up to. Ephesians
plumb line.
Plumb line. Thank you. Thank you. one line. That's a good one. You always got my back. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds," there it is again, "and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." So again, we have this idea that there is a new self with a new good heart and a pure mind, and we need to put off the old and put on the new. Step into the new good you with the good mind. But it's work. You have to practice at that. Colossians 3:1-2. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." So today was a struggle for me. There was a lot of noise in my head. I'm thinking about a lot of things. There's financial worries. There's all the appointments and parties and things that we have to do for the kids for school and costumes and presents to buy. There's just a lot this month for everyone. And all this noise is in my head. And Gian and I have been talking a lot about how do you find rest? How do you find perfect peace in the storm when everything is whirling around you and you're in that tornado? How do you get into the center where it's still and it's quiet? And the trick is, the secret is in here. Because where Christ is perfect peace. And if you can position yourself to be in his presence, even if nothing else externally changes, Philippians says that the peace of God which transcends all understanding. It doesn't say the peace of God which comes when everything gets worked out. I mean, I'm assuming that things aren't, you're not, don't be anxious about anything. With prayer and supplication, so you let God know your prayer, you thank him for all the good things that he has done and is doing with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, and it doesn't even make sense at all, and it guards your hearts and your minds. It guards your mind. What's it guarding it from? It's guarding it from all the noise, all the thoughts, all the arrows from the enemy that are trying to push in that will cause anxiety and fear and depression and hopelessness and anger and whatever your response is. Those are all mine at any given time. So the thought life of an individual, it fuels the invisible realm. We know that we have dual citizenship. We know that there's our physical dimension that we see, touch, feel, hear, and there's a spiritual dimension where the angels and the demons are constantly at war fighting that plane. We create alliances, good and bad, by what we think. Science proves that the act of observing changes things at a subatomic level. And I believe the same thing is happening in the spiritual world, because this is really just a reflection of what's going on there. This is a shadowy reflection. But I think the principles still are the same. And that's why Paul told us in Philippians 4:8 to think about those things, what's true and what's noble. Because when we are thinking about those things, we are attracting those things. We are affecting those things. We are creating those things. The power of our thoughts, the power of our observations, to focus at a moment when you don't know how in the world you're going to pay a bill, say, "Lord, I am so thankful that I have a roof over my head right now. I have clothes on. I'm not naked. I'm not emaciated, definitely not that, got some belly. I have food to eat. I have friends I could call that would come help me in a moment." And you focus on that, and all of a sudden, you don't feel that sense of poverty. You don't feel that sense of anxiety. Now, that may come back in 15 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour later, and you have to, again, put yourself back in that position. No. Rejecting those thoughts. And that's that, taking every thought captive. As soon as those bad thoughts come in, take it captive and you speak truth. There's a lie. I'm going to stop that lie. I'm going to speak truth. And the more you do that, then that path starts to get formed where it becomes easier. It becomes more natural. It's also why Jesus told us not to worry. It says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own." That's in Matthew 6:34. When we worry, we attract things to worry about. Have you guys found that to be true in your lives? The more you worry, the more things you find to worry about. If we focus on the things of God, then that is going to be what is revealed to us, and that's what's going to be revealed through us to others. If you are focused on it, if you are meditating on it, if you are observing and you are speaking negative and lies and condemnation, that is what's going to be attracted to you, and that's what you're putting out. If you are focused on things of God and you're meditating on those and that's what you're speaking is truth, not only are you going to attract that, but that's what you are putting out into the world around you. Jesus, when Jesus rebuked Peter for questioning his plans, you know that story, we talked about that last week. He tells him to back off for thinking with a mind filled with the things of man instead of thinking with the mind of God. So he tells him, he says, get behind me, Satan. You're thinking with a mind that thinks like men. You need to be thinking with a mind that thinks like God, with a renewed mind, with a transformed mind. When we fill our minds with the things of this world, we are not fulfilling our purpose as believers, which is to bring about the kingdom here on earth. It's in the prayer that Jesus gave us, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why would he have us pray that if that's not something that could be possible? Like, I used to think that, that will happen at the end, right? At the end of the world, then his kingdom happens. But why would Jesus have us be praying that if it's not possible to happen now and here? I don't think we do that. I think we get so focused on, end times, wars and wars and rumors of wars. Anytime you hear, the government, end times are here. We don't pray that God's kingdom would be being done here on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying that, come Lord, come soon. Please. Pre-trib rapture, right? No, it's just me. I really don't want to go through bad stuff. But there must be a reason why Jesus told us to pray that God's kingdom would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So it's important, it's really important that our minds are filled with kingdom things, that we're thinking kingdom thoughts, that we're praying kingdom prayers, that our perspective is kingdom perspective, not just the stuff that's going on right in front of us in our lives immediately, but beyond that to eternal things. Instead of looking at things horizontally, thinking things vertically, up and down. What's going on in the kingdom? What's going on? You know, I guess I don't get so caught up with politics because they'll always be bad. There's never going to be good politics. But I do think a lot about what's going on in the spiritual realm. What's going on in God's kingdom? Where's their revival? When will reformation come? So when our thoughts are dwelling on God, his plans, and his purposes, when we consider his promises and we meditate on his word, we attract the angelic realm. And the angels then help to enforce and carry out God's mission around you. So think of it like this. Your thought life is like a portal to the unseen realm. Okay, I really do think our mind, there is a connection there. In the unseen world. We know it because that's how strongholds are created, our thoughts and our words. So there is power in what we're thinking that affects this other dimension, this unseen realm. And we are partnering with forces around us that we can't see, but it's very real and it's very powerful. So it's important your thoughts are attracting the right sort of forces. And I say attracting because here's how I kind of see it. The angels recognize this fragrance of God, right? They're in his presence. They know his scents. They know his sounds. They know his looks. They recognize him. And the Bible tells us, we're the fragrance of Christ. I think when we are focusing on God, when we are speaking his truths, when we are dwelling in his presence, we smell like him. When we speak his truth, the angels recognize that. Hey, I know that boy. I know that. Those are God's words. Those are God's promises. They are attracted to that. When we are calling out, when we are releasing, visions and promises of God's, and we are praying down God's kingdom here on earth, they recognize that and they come into alignment to help us out because they want to help. They are created to help carry out God's word, and we know that He has positioned them to God has positioned them to help us. Says that they, you know, they make sure that we don't even stumble. It's the same the other way around. As flies are attracted to decay, so demons are attracted to stinking thinking. There is a sense that the demonic recognize and draw near to when our thoughts are not in line with God's thoughts. And they come to empower those thoughts and to create demonic contracts or strongholds in our lives. Bill Johnson, pastor at Bethel Church, said, "The demonic exists in a safe realm in the thoughts of unbelieving people, whether they're believers or not." Meaning that even believers, as believers, we cannot believe in the spiritual realm. I know believers that really don't believe in the spiritual realm. They don't believe in demons and angels or you know, that there's a cosmic battle going on. And so the enemy can use that. He further explains that the reason for a renewed mind is to break any contracts that we have made with the enemy. The devil gains authority in our lives by tricking us into agreements and then stealing the authority that God had given to us. So we talked about this last week. Do you remember we said that Jesus was given all authority on heaven and on earth? So you know that the enemy doesn't have any authority. The only authority that he gets is whatever he steals from us, wherever he's able to trick from us. Because we've been given authority. We have a kingdom. My home, my children, the people I work with, my friends, it's my little kingdom. And if he gets, you know, he will try to trick me into making contracts with him so he can gain ground. And then he'll try to build up strongholds in there. So we need to learn to think like Jesus. We need to see things with divine perspective. God will reveal truths to you, things that have always been there. He just opens your eyes to be able to see them in a new way. And nothing is more exciting or fulfilling than to experience truth, to get a glimpse of the greater purpose that you were designed for. This is how your mind is renewed, and that's how you tear down strongholds. So God, when you're praying, you're like, you know, God, I want to be in alignment with you. I want to have your perspective. I'm tired of the way I think. It is flawed inherently. I will run in circles. I will chase my own tail. I will try to solve problems that are unsolvable. There is no answer within myself. I need to see things the way you see them. And when you pray and you ask him, will you show me strongholds in my life? Will you show me areas that I have given, you know, ground to my enemy? That have come into contracts. That have agreed with his lies. Will you show me what those are? Will you show me the words that I need to speak to break those contracts? God will, he will start to reveal lies to you. He'll start to reveal lies that you've come into agreement with. And then you need to pull it down. And you have to be truly repentant. Your part is to repent over that agreement that you made. And then you replace the lie with the truth, with divine perspective. Because wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is always going to be freedom. You absolutely cannot be in communion with the Spirit of God and remain in bondage. And the more time you dwell in His presence, the more freedom you're going to experience. The two go hand in hand. So that's the first part of this equation, the powerful equation. The first part is what we're thinking about, what we're meditating on. The second part is the power of our words. Because out of our thoughts come our words. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Luke 6:45. So words create things too. Think of how God himself created all of the universe. It didn't say he thought about it. He what? He spoke. He said, let there be light. He said it. He spoke creation to existence. I think it's easier to understand the power of words than it is to understand the power of thoughts, because even a child knows how to manipulate words, right? One of the biggest things that they've added to the school curriculum is this anti-bullying. Anyone who's in the school system, has little kids in the school system, knows. Yeah. The power of words. It's all about how powerful the words can be. Even the world gets that. Words are very powerful. They can create, they can destroy, they can heal, they can hurt. And the Word of God is the most powerful force in the universe. So let's look at what the Bible says about words. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Matthew 15:18, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. Proverbs 12:18, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Matthew 12:36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Proverbs 16:24, I'm going fast enough, you can look at my notes after this. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, and health to the body. Matthew 12:37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Those are just a few. I mean, just go online and Google, what does the Bible say about words? And you'll get like hundreds. I just pulled out, you know, like the first section that came up. Words are really powerful. There's something extraordinary and miraculous and powerful that happens when we combine the power of our thoughts with the power of our words. When they align with the heart of God, amazing things happen. Our thoughts and words, they can create miracles. So I'm going to give you two examples from Scripture. Watch for the pattern of thoughts and words. Matthew 17:20 tells us that we have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, and we say to the mountain, move from here to there, it would. That nothing would be impossible. Okay? We'll go back over that one. Here's the next one. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So the first one, so when we say, okay, so first it said if you have faith, so if you believe, right, because faith is believing in something, and you believe, we think about that being in your mind, as small as a mustard seed, and we say if you think, it says if you say to the mountain, move from here to there, it will. That's the miracle, right? Something extraordinary happens when you believe and you speak truth. When we confess with our mouths and we believe, again, not believe in our minds, in our hearts, salvation is secured. And salvation is the miracle. So those are just two examples of the power of thoughts and words combined. They can create strongholds and they can tear them down. They can curse and they can bless. They can destroy and they can create. So be aware of what you're dwelling on in your mind and that you're what you're confessing with your mouth, because you have the power to shape the universe around you. So it's been requested that I do my little optics lesson again for the Play-Doh. So we've got the black Play-Doh here rolled up into a nice little lump. So this is our old heart. This is our flesh. Okay? And then when we are saved and God gives us this wonderful new good heart, right? It's beautiful and red. But here's what happens. It's the enemy does not want you to live with this heart. He doesn't want you to have the power that God has given you. He doesn't want you to take your rightful place. He wants you to stay in bondage. So he will begin, and you guys all know this from childhood, using maybe the words from a mom. Maybe your mother said, oh honey, maybe you need to lose a little bit of weight. Those pants are a little tight for you. So there's this initial thought. And then you start to dwell on that. Man, I don't look like the other girls. I am kind of, you know, I'm not as pretty as them. And so then you start to feed that. You start to think about it. You start to focus on it. And then you say the words, I'm so fat. I'm so ugly. No one could ever love me. Boom. Stronghold. Okay? And then, you know, maybe you are told you laugh too loud. Your laugh is obnoxious. So you start to think about that a lot. I am really loud and obnoxious, and that's probably why nobody likes me. That's probably why I don't have any friends. And then one day you say the words, because the enemy's sitting there feeding it to you. And then one day you say the words, no one likes me. I never will have any good friends. Stronghold, okay? Sometimes it's not stuff that we've chose. Sometimes bad things happen to us. Maybe there's been abuse from your childhood, and then the enemy starts with those lies. You're a joke. You're a waste. You are a mistake. You should have never been born. This is a big one. And then the words one day, I wish I was dead. I wish I was never born. Stronghold. And so what happens over time, as we meditate out on these bad things, and then we start saying the words, we start confessing it, the enemy begins to take ground in our good hearts, in our kingdom. And the next thing we know, we are walking around with something that looks like the old heart, but it's not. Okay? Yeah, we've lost a lot of ground here, but here's the beauty. God starts showing you lies. Maybe he uses a counselor, maybe he uses a good friend, maybe he speaks directly to your heart. And he takes you to a place and he says, honey, you need to stop calling yourself fat and ugly. I created you beautiful and perfect. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So now the thoughts, you've heard the words, and you start thinking about that, and you start meditating on it, and you find scriptures that align with it. When God started taking me on this process earlier this year, I would hear him say something, maybe like, I need confirmation on that. Where does it say that in the Bible? And he would give me scripture every single time. He would give me scripture. And I would meditate on the scripture. That's only part of it. What's the second part? Saying it out loud. The only way to break the contract is the same way that he built the contract. And it's saying out loud, I am beautiful. But other things fall off too. And a lot of times, that's actually true. I have found it's a lot easier. Sometimes things will come off in a clump because they're built up on each other. And if God, sometimes I love it when he does this. He'll let you take a shortcut. And he will go straight to the root where there's a bunch of stuff built up on. He'll go straight to the root. And he'll give you the words to say. And you say, you come into agreement with God, and a bunch of stuff will fall off. And you're like, wow, man, I didn't even know that stuff was connected to each other. So it's a process. Maybe it's something we're constantly doing our whole life. I don't know if, maybe some people are better than others. I know God did a lot this year, and I know there's still some more to do. And it's probably a lifetime process. But asking God, will you show me the strongholds? Will you show me the lies that I've come into agreement with? And then as he shows them to you, find the opposite. You find the truth to the lie, and you meditate on it, and you start speaking it out loud. So the lie was that I will never have any friends. You know, God is a constant, my constant friend. He never abandons me. He always loves me. I am always accepted by him. God puts the lonely in families. You find scriptures that speak truth, and the strongholds will start to break off. And the more that your good heart starts looking like its good self and you get ground back, the more powerful you are. So the process, I feel like the process actually gets easier the farther along you are because you've got more good stuff to work with, right? And because you start to see immediate results, you're like, hey, I mean, it's painful. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. It's hard. Every single time something came off, I was bawling. I'd be on my face. I'd snot coming down. I'm like, please don't let anyone walk in the living room right now. I'd wait till everyone went to bed. And I would be like, get my Bible and get my journal. And I'd put worship music on. I'd lay on the floor in the living room. And I'm like, okay, God, let's get to business. Tell me what I need to say today. Tell me what strongholds are we going to break. And I would just listen. And I would just wait. And I would be still. And I would listen. And then I would hear him say something. And I'd be like, oh, okay, I can't say that. Because that just feels absolutely ridiculous. One of the ones for me was I was pure. That was a hard one for me to say because I, even post-Christian, when you're supposed to know better, I mean, made some really bad choices and really bad mistakes and sinned against God and people that I loved and that loved me. Certainly didn't feel pure at all. Or that I'm whole, or that I'm beautiful, or that I was amazing. Those were each time it was so hard. And each time that I listened to God and I came into agreement with it, and I meditate on the scripture that aligned with it, and I spoke it out loud, man, something broke off. Because I could feel it. It was a physical hurt. I remember telling Jan, it hurts. My heart physically hurts. It's aching right now. But it was such a good thing. I absolutely didn't want it to stop. Because I knew my heart was being healed. My God was healing me. That He was freeing my good heart by breaking off a lot of those strongholds.
That's all we have time for today. The Warrior Princess Club is a ministry of Cross Points Church in Shawnee, Kansas. You can find our Facebook page under Warrior Princess Club. A special thanks to Lori Harris for letting us use her awesome music. If you like what you hear, go to Lori, L-O-R-I, Harris.com for more. We hope you have a blessed week and check back in next week for more. Some